Right then, we'll call the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Member Gibson? Here. Member Gehring?
Here.
Member Hageman?
Here.
Member Guthrie?
Here.
Member Ikeda?
Here.
And Member Bright?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Yay. So please excuse me. I did not realize I'd be chairing this meeting. I am just getting over a horrific cold, so we'll have to just go with this. At this point in the meeting, we'll ask for public comment. If there is any, please come forward. No rush to the podium. All right then. So then we'll move on to item 3, approval of the meeting minutes. Is there any corrections or modifications to the minutes? No? Seeing none?
No.
May we have a motion to approve?
I'll move that.
We have a motion and a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Thank you. Now we'll move on to item 4, the approval of the 2020 meeting schedule, which is attachment 2 in our packet.
Yeah, I'd like to comment real quick on that. There are a couple. You'll see the one date for July 16th, 2020 is in red on Oceano, and it's tentative only in that there is a little bit of a scheduling conflict. We had that this year with them. So they're working right now to get the Oceano Area Council, I believe it is, OAC, to move their time so that we can have our time at 6:30, but that we won't know the results of that until I believe it's November 21st. So I'm putting it here because I think it's going to happen. I don't see any problem with it moving forward. The other date that I wanted to bring up is and something that I noticed every year in the November advisory committee meeting, it's bumped up a week. Instead of it always being on the third Thursday, we do it on the second Thursday. Is there a reason to do this? Or
I imagine because it's too close to Thanksgiving, I would think.
Well, like this year, so it's November 14th. We moved the meeting up to November 14th, and Thanksgiving's not till the 28th. Next year, though, I did look. So if we have it on the 19th, the Thanksgiving would be on the 26th. It'd be 1 week away. So the only concern I have is that it does pose a little bit of a problem for the technical advisory committee because they would be meeting. We had to move that schedule up too. Otherwise, you're meeting back to back. So just for consideration, if we could either move to have it on November 19th or we could have it be on the third, on the move it up. Mm-hmm. Just for consideration.
The tack on the 11th, that is Veterans Day.
I did not notice that.
I'm sensitive to that.
As we all should be. Let's see. We would probably have to move the TAC meeting to the previous one, so that would be on the 4th.
So is the 3rd Election Day anyway? Oh, my calendar is coming up as Election Day. Thank you.
Is what election day?
The 2020 November 3rd, isn't that election day? I've got a Google calendar, so it might have inserted it wrong.
Oh,
it's
possible, but November 4th is the date we're talking about for TAC, which is
okay.
Wednesday.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
So that wouldn't be a problem.
No.
So I'll amend the calendar to read November 4th for TAC, and do you want to then move the advisory committee meeting up to November 12th, or do you want it on the 19th?
Well, you said Thanksgiving is
the 26th.
26, so a week away. So why don't we just leave it on the 19th?
Okay. I mean, does that work?
It's a week away.
Yeah. Do people take vacations? I don't vacation anymore, it seems. But do they take vacations the week of or the week before? I'm just trying to remember.
Schools are now taking off the entire week before. So if it's on the, like, 26th, then they would have the Wednesday, Tuesday, and Monday all before that. So from that standpoint.
Okay, so I'm good either the 12th or the 19th. It's, to me, it's half a dozen, one dozen, or the other. So
why don't we just leave it at the 19th then, since it's the week before? Everyone okay?
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, good show.
All right, then I guess we should have a motion.
Okay, so may we have a motion to approve the meeting schedule as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Motion is approved. Okay. We'll move on to item 5, operations report.
Yes, I'll read you what today's operations report as that I got these figures today. The lake elevation is at 491.47 feet, which is a storage of 25,827 acre feet, which is 52% capacity. Rainfall to date, unfortunately, is still zero. Plant production is at 5.21 MGD, or million gallons per day. State water is off. This is their normal maintenance period, and so it will be off until November 18th. And so downstream releases are at 3.0 MGD.
Move on now then to item 6.
We'll be, actually, we should go to operations projected reservoir levels.
I'm sorry.
No problem. So attachment 3 in your packet, we have the Lopez reservoir storage projection. Notable changes that we have projected all the way out until next June. So you can see what the rainfall predicted at the very bottom is in light blue. And where we're at is, to date, is actuals are in red. So we're a little bit behind as far as predictions. And then looks like, according to the month of November, we should be getting 1.7 inches. December, 2.57, and then it ramps up. Nice little bell curve, and then tapers back off. So based on the predicted rainfall, you can see what the reservoir storage projection would be, which is the line in red. Or, I'm sorry, the line in orange. But because the actual is the green, we tack on the predicted, so we would be, the red line would show you where we would be at. Any questions on that?
Have you done models taking out rainfall and where we'd be without the anticipated precipitation?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. I wonder if there's... No, I don't have that, and I couldn't really even guess. Although, typically we're using... Well, depending on downstream releases, we're using about... On average, 450 acre feet a month. Mm-hmm. And then if you include downstream releases, that's another, you know, 200 to 300. So we could do that for you. If
I was just curious if you had, because no. There's been debate on whether we actually are going to be getting the rainfall. So I was just curious as to, I mean, how fast it would, or what kind of difference it would make, I guess, apparently.
Right. Yeah, we could do that. We can look into that. I did, I believe it was NOAA had a pre-winter planning meeting that they do, and they usually will give some kind of prediction to something, and it was the 50-50.
It's getting harder and harder. It's like, it's kind of safe, you know, it may or may not.
So there was nothing notable came out of that meeting, you know, in terms of what kind of whether they're predicting. But at the meeting was in the beginning, maybe I think it was last week, and they said nothing for 6 weeks. That would put us about the middle of December, something like that. So let's see. The other item we could look under this, under item 5, is the September and October monthly operations reports. I do have a revised October report, which I will send out separately. At the time that we did the report, we did not have the state water numbers in yet. So that number on the far right on the October, which says this month stored state water, that number is not correct. The number's more, it's about 1,287 acre feet of stored water, stored state water. Nothing really notable here to point out, except that Oceano is, they've used all their entitlement and they have moved into the surplus water that they requested and purchased.
Is this live? Anyway, Shane Taylor, Utilities Manager, City of Rio Grande. I don't know if you got this. I called the plant today. We requested that they keep the state water off for a couple more days because we're currently flushing with the free chlorination. So when the state water goes off, Lopez does free chlorine, and we're not quite done. It took about 9 days for us to switch to
from one to the other.
So we're flushing right now, and we need a few more days. So we asked to go to the 20th of November and then go back to combined chlorine.
Okay, good.
And did you get that message today? Or?
I did not.
Okay. So anyway, I talked to Craig, and he said he would check, but we made that request.
I don't see a problem with that. So.
Anyway, that was it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions on the September and October monthly operations report?
Hey, Jill, I had a question. I mentioned this to you earlier, but that number for the year-to-date downstream release,
yes.
What would that have been in previous years without all the projects that were going on in Zone 1-1A? Approximately.
In 2018, by this time last year, we had released 2,552 acre feet. And to date this year, we're at 1,347. But some of that, that's not all due to the projects. I also checked to see when we started changing releases. So we started reducing releases in August because we have two projects going on a Rio Grande Creek channel. And one was a concern at the Oceano 13th Street drainage project. They're building a basin next to the creek. And they were concerned with hitting groundwater, and if there was a lot of flow in the Rio Grande Creek channel, that could influence, you know, how much pumping of water they'd have to do. That part of the project is completed now. So it looks like some of the reasons that there's the significant change between 2018 and 2019 is just due to the fact that we had a wet winter, and so we actually were on the low end of downstream releases all the way up until May, where sometimes we're already ramping up at that point. So that was one part. And we did also in June, I think in May, we went up to 2.1 million gallons per day, and then we were back down June 5th to 1.9, and we've just kind of hovered between there. It's currently at 3, so that's that's some of the explanation, yeah.
But it is a pretty big difference, though, huh?
Yeah, and I can provide you with a graph.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Look at me better.
Yes, picture.
Okay, then. So we'll move on now to item 6, information items. first quarter budget status.
Hey, good evening. Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. This is the first quarter budget status report for fiscal year 19-20. This report is for July 1st through September 30th of 2019. At the end of the first quarter, total expenses were 16% of the annual budget. In your packets, there are three graphs illustrating the budget versus actual expenses. The first graph displays routine O&M. Expenses were 22% of the budget, leaving $3 million available for the rest of the year. The second graph displays non-routine O&M, and almost half of this category's budget's been carried forward from the prior year, so we can continue work on the efforts. At the end of September, the expenses were only 2% of the budget, leaving approximately $850,000 available for the rest of the year. The third graph displays capital outlay. Roughly half of this category's budget has been carried forward from the prior year, so we can hopefully complete the projects. At the end of the quarter, expenses were 4% of the budget, leaving $995,000 available for the remainder of the year. The fiscal year 18-19 true-up has been done, and those adjustments were mailed earlier this month, along with the second installment of the fiscal year 19-20 billings that are due January 1st. And that concludes my report. Any questions?
Christy, the billing that you sent, the true-up, and I was just looking at those invoices actually tonight before I ran over here. I was going to bring them, but I just want to confirm. I haven't figured out. The one was for 18-19 state water wheeling costs, and then the other was for the first, was it the first half or first quarter?
For 19-20, you're thinking of the second.
Well, there was an 18-19 and a 19-20.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you got them at the same time. They got mailed together. So there was the 18-19 true-up and then the second installment for the 19-20 billing. So you guys have already paid. The first installment was due July 1st, pardon me, and this will be the second installment due January 1st for 19-20 for the current year we're in.
And that was for state water, yes?
For Avila Beach. Oh, that's a good question.
You don't have those details. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll circle back with you.
Circle back with me, okay. I brought some details. I just have to find them.
Yeah, I should have brought them with me. I just want to make sure I code them correctly when we write the checks.
Yeah, we'll chat.
Okay.
So any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Okay, next would be the water supply contract changes.
I'm going to just give you a verbal update today. We had talked at our September meeting. Dan Heimel, if you'll remember, came, who is helping with Water Systems Consulting, is helping us do some coordination on this effort. And he gave a presentation, and he had probably optimistically said he would bring results back to the group in November. And as it turned out, we were on track for that. It took us a little bit longer to develop our baseline modeling scenario criteria than we anticipated, and so we did get some results together, but we went to the TAC meeting in November, and we were not able to vet it with all the agencies. Several agencies had something else going on that day, so instead of bringing you a presentation that was not fully vetted by the TAC, I'm proposing to bring it back to you in January on your January 16th meeting, and we are planning to get together with TAC in December and focus on results so that they all understand the latest modeling. So that's what I have on that. And let's see. I can also give a verbal update on the cloud seeding. I discussed where we stand with the project with Ray D'Enzo, who's the project manager, and we are on track for a Board of Supervisors date of December 17th. That will take the contract and hopefully award it that day and get started right away directly after that with probably actual cloud seeding happening probably not till like the middle of January, dependent on storms, and it takes a little bit of time to set the program up, but they're confident they can get it going in January. The contract is going to be a three-year a potential 3-year contract. The first year is definite, and then we'll just sort of evaluate how the first year goes as to whether or not we want to do it again in year 2 and year 3. And any questions on that, on either of those items?
I have one question regarding the cloud seeding. Did you say that would be December 17 meeting?
The Board of Supervisors, yes. That's where it will be.
So, Jill, this $300,000 that's budgeted for cloud seeding, let's say it's working fantastic. Is that a maximum, or is that just an estimate? So let's say we're going along and we need more than $300,000. Would that come back to the advisory committee?
The way that we've set up the contract with the consultant is that year one it's something less than $300,000. It's like $277,000. And then we set up the future years, year 2 and year 3, to be a not to exceed $350,000. So we won't go more than 350, but we'll they gave us an I think their estimate was less than 350 in each of those years.
Okay.
So we have a little bit of wiggle room if it turns out it works great, and you know, we want to do some land sites or change something up. You know, we can go as high as 350, or if there happens to be more storms to seed. So that's some of what the unknown costs are. How much of the actual product are we going to end up using, depending on how many storms, you know, are available?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Is there a upfront cost that's just, you know, it? No matter. Let's say we don't get any storms. There's no storms. Just cloud seed. What's the cost if that's the case?
Yeah, there is some just kind of loss costs, I guess you could call them, or base costs. Mm-hmm. I don't have those numbers with me here.
Okay.
I don't know, but I know there are some.
Yeah, I'm imagining standby and all that kind of stuff.
Right, having a plane ready.
Yeah,
because we're choosing an air based program, so there's the time you have to have the pilot be on standby, the plane on standby, that kind of thing.
Thank you.
Those are good questions. Thank you. We've come now to item 7, capital projects update.
Yeah. In your packet, the very last item, attachment 6, I believe it is an update. Not a lot of progress has been made, but I did want to highlight a couple things that did change since we met in September. Under the Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam hazard classification, DSOD has approved the inundation maps for both the main dam and the terminal dam. And we are currently working on a public outreach plan that we're trying to develop for releasing the new inundation maps perhaps to our website, the county's Zone 3 website, as well as be able to provide it to each of the agencies for their use. So it'll be some sort of a brochure, and we're just kind of working on the details on when we're going to put that out. The other item that we completed was the Lopez Leach Field Replacement Project. So we just finished that. And let's see, I think those are the really only two items that have moved since September that are of notable. Yeah, they have all been moving forward, but not anything significant milestones. Any questions on any of these? I can run through them real quick if you're not sure what they are, but they've been on the list for quite a while as it is. Most of them have been.
Well, I wouldn't mind a brief discussion regarding the Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam Hazard Classification Project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what it is?
Yes, sure.
So a requirement that was put on all dams that were considered high hazard And high hazard was defined as basically any dam that has a sizable community downstream of it. And so that put Lopez Dam and the Terminal Dam as high classification. And this was, and because it's in a high class, high hazard classification, DSOD, as an outcome from the Oroville Dam accident, required that these particular dams needed to have new inundation maps made. We had to come up, we had to do our emergency action plans, and the plans and maps had to be sent to Cal OES. We've done that. And so at this point, this has all taken several years to do this. Partly once you submit it, then you can imagine what DSOD and DWR are themselves inundated with all the other, you know, 17 or I forget, maybe there's 70 dams in the state that were classified as high hazard. So they were swamped. So it took them over a year to approve our maps. And yeah, so right now they're reviewing our emergency action plans.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? No? All right, then. So let's see. looks like we have no other action items. Future agenda items, I guess. Yes?
Yeah. I was just going to let you know a couple things that I already know we'll be talking about in January. One is, as I mentioned, we're going to come back and talk to you about the contract changes and the results from the modeling. Christy will also be here with the proposed budget. That will be a big item. And the other item that I'm hoping will be ready is an update or an agreement for you to recommend to the Board of Supervisors for the AT&T cell tower site lease. And that, I think this group saw it maybe a year and a half, could have been even 2 years ago. So it's been made slow progress, but it's nearing the end. So hopefully we'll have a draft agreement, and I will probably have some staff from the public or from the county come to speak on it, kind of go over what the leases entails and benefits, et cetera, to this action. And other items that we don't have a specific date on are floating solar. I've left the low reservoir response plan on just in case, although, you know, our contract changes may, that the work we're doing on the contract changes may make changing the low reservoir response plan kind of a moot point, but I'm leaving it on there. And I believe it was Member Gehring that requested or suggested we do a cost-benefit analysis of abandoning the use of the terminal reservoir. We brought that up in a discussion with TAC because it needs to get a budget if we were going to go do that. And at this time, TAC was not in favor of pursuing that at this time. So, any questions or anything else you would like to have on the agenda next in January?
Maybe just for the board members, the abandoning the terminal reservoir, can you give them a sort of a three-minute, why would we think about doing that?
Right. So the terminal reservoir is because we have to have a place for the water to stay for approximately 30 days because it's a body contact lake. And when the terminal reservoir was first built and the type of water treatment plant that we had, there wasn't enough processes to take enough of the bad stuff, leave it simple, out of the water. And as a result, but when we did a plant upgrade for $26 million in 2007, we have the membrane racks and we significantly improved the treatment there. And so at this point, we believe that the high-tech treatment that we have, we could actually petition the state to allow us to abandon the terminal reservoir. And that might be something we would want potentially because of the maintenance. And there, it's a, now that it's a high, classified as a high risk dam, it's possible that we would have to, maybe we have to look at whether it's seismically safe. You know, that there's several things that could be happen. So it's, I wouldn't say that the analysis of abandoning the Terminal Reservoir is completely off the list. But until we get some more information, we're actually doing a geotechnical study of the stability of the terminal dam. And we haven't got, we don't know the results of that. We need to do some more physical testing of that. That's one of the items on the CIP update. And so maybe when we get the results of that, that may change things for us in terms of what our next steps might be. So.
Thank you.
Makes sense. Any other questions? No. We'll move on now to our last item, which is committee member comments. Benny?
I had a couple of comments. In thinking back about climate that I remember over the last 40 years on the coast, it's my recollection that wet years start wet. And in fact, a good example would be the 1997-98 year where at my house I got 48 inches of rain above the dam. And the average there is about 24. So that year we had 4 inches of rain at our house in October. Mm-hmm. So just a thought to be prepared for a dry year.
Yeah, you're right. Because 2010, which was our last really, really, really tremendous, that started in October. That's when we had those rains coming from all directions and everybody found the vulnerabilities in their roof. Yeah,
yeah right.
Yeah, that's true.
Just as a follow-up to that, Jim, the there's the I think John Lindsay talked about it as the John Neal rule. If any years that we get 2 inches or more of rain in October, and statistically this goes back, John Neal is the general manager of Tescadero Mutual Water, is then has always been, I think, above average rainfall. So it doesn't necessarily mean if you don't get 2 inches, but mm-hmm. it's nice to get some rain in October, as Jim said. It's kind of a good foreboding. So they wrote that up maybe 2 years ago or a year ago. And again, I kind of remembered that. So I was hoping for some rain. Mm-hmm.
Any others?
Well, I just wanted to say, so if things continue, you might want to consider, if it's not too much trouble, to do a new model with the lake just to show us, you know, the difference between rain and not having any rain or having very little rain, just for perspective.
Yeah.
Not too much trouble.
Yeah, no, it's not hard to write. You just put zeros all in the rainfall column and you say graph, and it's magic. It's flat line for rainfall and a down for the level. The reservoir. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. It's good to have a bookend, you know. Say this is your worst case scenario. It doesn't rain, you know. So yeah, and when it's not raining, that's usually sunny here, which means evaporation. So it's kind of like a double whammy. So
true. Doesn't hurt to have a visual, I suppose. Well then. I suppose then, if there's no other comments, we're going to adjourn this meeting.
Let's do it.
All right, then.
Excellent idea.
All right.